But when nothing subsists of an old past, after the death of people, after the destruction of things, alone, frailer, but more enduring, more immaterial, more persistent, more faithful, smell and taste still remain for a long time. Like souls remembering, waiting, hoping upon the ruins of all the rest, bearing without giving way on their almost impalpable droplet, the immense edifice of memory. Welcome to the Charming Mistakes of My Youth on Kaechung, 1630 AM in Los Angeles and kaechungradio.org worldwide. I'm your host, Susanna Tontensop. I'm here with my guest, Chris Steidel, multimedia creative and older brother. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Never been on the radio, really.
Well, there's always a first for everything, right?
Totally.
So the first song that we heard was Dreams by Fleetwood Mac. Do you want to tell us about that and why you chose that to open up the show?
Yeah, that came out quite some time before I was born, like 3 years or so. And then it's like one of the earlier songs that I remember as like, you know, background noise but not necessarily noise. Like, I enjoyed it. It just evokes a lot of memory as far as the early years of my youth. My mother was a big fan of it. And, you know, that was back in the day of cassettes and things of that nature. And, yeah, it's just, like, those lo-fi memories, like the cloudy ones, the first ones, you know, and different time and place. Was born in California, and that song, I think, entered my life, like, when I was living in Southern California with both my parents.
How old were you then?
I think it might have been 7 years old, 8 years old, around then, you know? And, you know, not necessarily the formidable years yet, but definitely an easy reckoning as far as, like, when that song comes on. I actually didn't own the track until today. But, you know, it comes up here and there, and it definitely is one of the very first ones I remember.
And do you remember certain, were you sitting in your living room listening to it as a kid?
Oh, no, like I said earlier,
it was,
I believe it was in the car. My mom had a VW Jetta at that point in time, I think. I can't remember. I forget the family cars. Dad had a BMW, and mom, I think we were still in this Jetta, also part-time. And it just was like background music to my youth, you know, which was like an interesting point in everybody's lives, I think. I was an only child at that point in time. So, you know, all efforts were on me. And that song just, I mean, it's just, I think it's that whole album, actually. It's Rumors, and I think that I'm pretty sure my mom had that album on repeat for at least a few years. So, you know, but that was also a different era. It was like California in the 80s. I had family in Los Angeles, and I think everything had a different taste and feel back then, you know.
I wasn't in California in the 80s. What was it like?
I can only tell you as a youth. I mean, like, it was... I think it was a really interesting time for my parents as a whole. And definitely... There, I just, as far as it being the first song I remember, I can't tell you what California was like in the 80s. I can tell you what it was like for me. And it was like, you know, sunshine and the occasional dip in the Pacific Ocean. And I remember a lot of warm air, windows down in cars, things of that nature, you know? So, yeah.
And was this in Los Angeles?
No, not Los Angeles. Well, part of it, Los Angeles, California. But we lived in... Gosh, at that point in time, I think we were in Santa Maria, California. My parents were both living there. They'd opened a store, a retail, women's high fashion retail store. And that's probably when I remember this song first being played. And we used to commute to Los Angeles via the 154, which is like a nice little bypass road that makes the trip from Santa Maria to Santa Barbara shorter. And so that is definitely, now when I'm on the 154 these days with the girlfriend and the dog and things of that nature, like, that song is definitely relatable because that pass road is very, as far as like the olfactory senses are concerned, like smell and then being able to, like, there's familiarities. And so those familiarities with that commute to Los Angeles, I think that's where that song comes from, you know.
That's great. And so what do we have queued up next?
It's Painted Black by the Rolling Stones, which I heard, I think it was because there was some sitcom based on the Vietnam War that I can't recall, that I forgot to look up. And the opening, my dad was a huge Stones fan. He always said that, like, if you're from the South, you're a Rolling Stones fan before a Beatles fan. And, like, not that I wasn't a Beatles fan at all growing up, but I grew up on the Rolling Stones, because my dad's spent a lot of his life in New Orleans. And so Painted Black, I remember hanging on the TV when I was very young, like 9 years old. And then my dad had to search and search to get the tape, cassette tape. And it was literally that and Michael Jackson Beat It was like on the tape deck in the old BMW for like at least a year or two straight. And so it just, like, it reminds me of those days, because my dad was really good about taking little road trips, things of that nature, and those times on the road were always fun. So it was like he was successful in his early 30s, and so the car that he was driving, mm-hmm. like the scent recognition which is very strong. Mm-hmm. Like that leather is what I remember when I think of this song. You know, so should we play it?
Yeah, let's play it.
I think everybody's heard it, but
maybe there's someone that hasn't.
Totally. So that was Painted Black, which I think, you know, as early as it may have been, was probably like my first introduction to being affected and tragically unique, like miniature identity crisis. I think that's when I finally, like 9, 10, was like realizing pretty much nothing about myself, and it wouldn't happen for another 15, 20 years. I think that song kind of was the kicker. And it's pretty funny when I think about it. Like, it's just really weird being on the show talking about these songs in my youth that, like, there's not a hell of a lot of explanation, but all the same, it's pretty, you know, I think it's, I think it runs pretty parallel with the reading material you started with, which is literature traditionally, but it's also a lot, it's very philosophical to a sense, a certain degree. So, I don't know. I mean, like, we start off with a song that my mom reminds me of my mom, then my dad, and now another one with my dad. I was a bit of a daddy's boy growing up. And so we're going to do Warren Zevon, Werewolves of London, which is just, like, catchy. Like, Warren Zevon, like, bless his heart, you know, rest his soul. Like, it's really, all of his music is very, like, ironic, and like he loves cliche. He's very anti-popular culture, although he like made a lot of the TV appearance throughout the 80s. Him and Letterman were really good friends. He ended up succumbing to cancer, I believe. But I mean, like there's a lot of depth to his music if you listen to it. Tough to swallow at first for some people because it's so kitschy. But this song, I mean, like this explains it all. It's like 6 years later, my dad and I go to London, and I literally made him take me to the Trader Vic's at the Dorchester because it was sang about in this song. And we were actually just staying up the street.
Was it everything you dreamed of?
I had a virgin pina colada because the werewolf in this song is actually drinking a real pina colada. But it was like, it's definitely one of those time and place type of deals. And it just kind of cracks me up every time I hear this song. I've listened to it on repeat. I actually bought this album, you know, on like a sale bin or something like that at Amoeba 2 years ago. And pretty much listened to it quite frequently since then. And it's pretty great. So we'll play it.
All right, let's play it.
Through the streets of Soho in the rain, he was looking for the place called Lee Ho Fooks. Gonna get a big dish of beef chow mein. Ah, werewolves of London. Kitchen door. You better not let him in. Little old lady got mutilated late last night. Werewolves of London again. A gent who ran amok in Kent. Lately he's been overheard in Mayfair. You better stay away from him. He'll rip your lungs out, Jim. I'd like to meet his tailor. Ah-hoo, werewolves of London. I saw Lon Chaney walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw Lon Chaney Jr. walking with the Queen, doing the werewolves of London. I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's. His hair was perfect.
Just heard Johnny Too Bad.
Slickers.
By the Slickers. And tell us about that song.
That was my introduction to reggae. It wasn't Bob Marley. My introduction to reggae came from The Heart They Come, which was like way before my time. But my dad had that on cassette tape also, and that was in our house, like running. See, the thing is that these, I remember. Back to the Rolling Stones, like all the Rolling Stones cassette tapes were black, and a couple of the earlier ones were like an off-white. And then I remember The Harder to Come was an off-white cassette tape that had been like roaming around our house for years. And then I finally saw the movie with my dad, which is like a very tragic, like anti-hero story. It's actually a really, really good film if someone hasn't seen it. It's definitely.
I actually haven't seen it.
Oh, it's amazing. I mean, it's very like, let's go back to lo-fi. It's like extremely lo-fi. There's a big story behind it, which I can't recollect right now, but it has to do with like, there's a lot of really good, the director was Perry Henzel. And I mean, Jimmy Cliff scored the whole soundtrack. Mm-hmm. So like that's reggae legend right there.
I know a lot of the songs on that one, but I don't know Johnny Too Bad.
Yeah, that's the Slickers, and unfortunately, that's as deep as my relationship with the Slickers goes. But it is part of the Harder They Come soundtrack, which is like legit reggae. And growing, you know, from Southern California, we eventually moved to Oregon. My mother and I at first, and my father followed. And so Eugene, Oregon in the 90s, and even the Oregon coast where I eventually ended up, like, was like... It was like steeped in reggae. So it's just one of those funny things. I mean, amongst like Fish and Grateful Dead and things of that nature, which I didn't put on here. Not that I resent it, but I just kind of doesn't remind me of much. But back to the Harder They Come is just like that movie itself. It's a pretty good little glimpse into like Kingston in the 70s and like something that none of us will ever be familiar with. You know what I'm saying? Like a strife that like, is really hard to recollect, and it was a really big popular culture as a movie, and then the backstory to it's really interesting. I'm not going to sit here and read Wikipedia verbatim though from my phone, so everybody will have to look it up themselves. The next one is The Passenger that I'm going to play. It's off Iggy Pop's Lust for Life, and you know, until recently, for some fucking reason, I thought that he wrote this song based on Antonioni's film The Passenger. that stars Jack Nicholson, which is an amazing film into itself. And but I don't think it was. And I remember hearing this like very, very. This is a song that I heard when I was like 12, I think. And I just think that this is like far before, like, you know, my little brother, who's now 23, like, he is extremely like well associated with like popular culture and like also like the more deeper and like subverse culture of like music and literature and movies. And I just wasn't like, I'm not an internet age kid. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, yo, dial up. Yeah. Like, I used to prank call my girlfriends in middle school and hang up. It's like, I, that, like, answering machines, stuff like that. So like, yeah. It's like, I'm just not from that era, and nothing comes as quick. So The Passenger, I remember hearing it, and it didn't come back to me until like my late teens. And then it came back around in my 20s. But every time, like, I've played the shit out of it, every time I got my hands on it. And so, I mean, I've downloaded it on a couple of occasions, I believe. But we're going to cut it a little bit short. It's a very long song. It's a very good song. But yeah, we'll go ahead and give it a listen.
All right. Here we go.
Everybody knows that song at one point or another.
Yeah, I got introduced to that song in high school on vinyl.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, I think I was talking about during the song about how organic everything used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, internet came about, and we just weren't as reliant on it.
Didn't rely on, I did, well, in in adolescence, I didn't rely on the internet at all.
Yeah.
It was very much any music I found, I had to go to, I always went to the music store. I listened to the college radio station. I learned a lot. I'd record tapes while listening to the college radio station. I remember in middle school and just like, what is that? And trying and investigating and trying to find things out. And it was just, it was a different time or people would share music with one another in school.
Completely. The radio. I mean, this list that I'm playing everybody, by the way, is very curated and it's all image. Because I was like not this cool growing up. And there was a lot of bad mixtapes that I recorded straight off the radio.
Oh yeah.
Really bad. But I wasn't gonna go there this time around. Share
with us one of your favorite. I don't even know, man.
Remember at one point in time there was like Two Live Crew was so something at that point in time that I was not allowed to listen to. And like how if you hear it now, you're like, oh, it's kind of innocent by comparison. Like,
yeah,
it's very blatant and like, I mean, it's like they're a bunch of misogynists and really bad towards women and it's very explicit and things, but like that was definitely a big no-no. And I remember being introduced to that, like so young and just being like, this is so bad what I'm listening to. And I couldn't imagine like nowadays, I mean, it goes back to like that constant thing of like, are we better off now or before? Because like I was saying before I played The Passenger, I thought this was, I thought he wrote this on the film that was made 2 years earlier called The Passenger, which is by the director Antonioni, Michelangelo Antonioni, and Jack Nicholson stars in it. It's not too of an obscure film, but it's not like a popular culture. It's more of like an independent culture type of movie. Forever I thought that, and I think it must have just been derivative of like someone telling me that's what it was based on, me believing that the whole time. And until I sit down and make this playlist at work this last week, I'm like, you know, again, curating my life, making myself seem a lot cooler than I actually am and trying to do some, you know, try to study up a little bit. But The Passenger, I mean, like I said earlier, it popped up at the right time every time. And I drove whoever was my partner in crime at that point in time, whatever dude I was running around with, like causing trouble, running amok, like them crazy by just having the thing on repeat. So it's like a really good like road dog song, you know? And I think me using the term road dog means that we're supposed to move on to this really, really like hectic but catchy song from a very obscure band that if you did not grow up in Eugene, Oregon, you do not know. See, I split my time between Eugene, Oregon and the Oregon coast.
Yeah.
Mother was in Eugene, father was on the coast and beautiful life. Like Oregon's a wonderful place to grow up, a shitty place to live. But this is like right around the time when like Eugene, Oregon was being featured in High Times for like how much things were being sold for and things like that. Like the illicit drug market was like booming in Eugene right at the worst time because I was becoming a teenager. And so there was this band called Floater. And I mean like Nirvana played at this place called the Wow Hall, which if you know Eugene or went to U of O or anything like that, like you know the Wow Hall. And it's an independent theater. Nirvana played there amongst like every other band, Pearl Jam. And there was this band that played like every other month. And their name was Floater, and I think they're still around. And I downloaded this like 6 months ago. You right? Cool. I downloaded this 6 months ago, kind of like just on a whim because I thought it'd be funny. And you'll understand why once you listen to it. But we did grow up to a certain degree. We're like weaned on this song.
Something's wrong with anyone who's not like me. With you, the violence just comes so market when this place closes down. Cause I say drinking's always done when the sun's up in the sky. Sun is always up somewhere, it's your turn to find. I say, oh, daddy, won't you go home earlier tonight? Your son, he doesn't know you. You're giving us a fright when you say. Something's wrong with anyone who's not like me. With you, the violence just comes so easily. Whatever I have to teach you constantly. Hush now. Hush now.
And we're back. Sorry about the coughing.
If you weren't awake, now you're awake.
Yeah, now I'm awake.
Yeah, that's a really intense song. So it's just a funny time and place type of deal. And that was like some of the first concert experiences and things of that nature. There's a lot of David Bowie, I think, in everybody's life at one point or another. And it's like I am not a musician. I'm friends with a lot of musicians, some very successful, some not very. And I guess there's a bit of envy involved, but it's also one of those things where it's like enjoyment. I just think that like musicianship is like such a, thank goodness for it. And thank goodness for David Bowie, because I think he's probably one of the most creative people out there that's still, you know, participating and alive. And I just think he kind of, from his roles in a couple of films and his persona as a whole, it's like, you know, he's been sober for like 22 years or something. It's crazy. Yeah. And he's just,
well, I had no idea.
Oh yeah. Bowie's been sober for a long time, and it's interesting. I mean, like I was really interested to figure that out, and it's just, you know, I don't think there's anything counterintuitive about listening to David Bowie. So we'll listen to 5 years right now.
Mother's sighing. News had just come over. We had 5 years left crying. News guy wept and told us Earth was really dying. Cried so much his face was wet. Then I knew was not lying. I heard telephones, opera house, favorite melodies. I saw boys, toys, electric irons and TVs. My brain hurt like a warehouse. It had no room to spare. I had to cram so many things to store everything in there. And all the fat, skinny people. And all the tall, short people. So many people. Girl my age went off ahead. Hit some tiny children. If the black hadn't pulled her off, I think she would have killed them. A soldier with a broken arm. It's this
top knelt and kissed the feet of a priest, and a queer threw up the sight of that. Think I saw you in an ice cream parlor, drinking milkshakes cold and long, smiling and waving and looking so fine. Don't think you knew you were in the song. And it was cold and it rained, so I felt like an actor, and I thought of more, and I wanted to get back there. Your face, your race, the way that you talk, I kiss you, you're beautiful.
Back. So tell us about.
Oh, I mean, but I was trying to think of The Man Who Fell to Earth is one of like the most, the first film of that David Bowie was in that comes to mind. It's actually part of the Criterion Collection, which is almost non-existent now. Back to our internet age and books vanishing.
The Criterion Collection's
it's
almost
on Hulu now.
Really?
It's available on Hulu Plus, the complete collection. So you have to pay for Hulu, and at Barnes & Noble, they're like getting rid of it, like...
They're getting rid of the
like burning
actual,
books, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy. Well, yeah.
The actual just, collection, because people
the tangible
aren't
collection,
buying,
yeah.
buying DVDs anymore.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Vidigate's in Santa Monica, now that Old Bank DVD in downtown is done, is like one of the only places to get like obscure films.
What is it called?
Vidiot's in Santa Monica. It's on the west side. But then...
What about Video Journeys?
Maybe, yeah. I've never been. But there used to be the Old Bank like DVD rental place in downtown LA, which if you're an East Sider, was close.
Yeah.
And if you live downtown, you could walk. And so, yeah, it's kind of sad. But back to David Bowie and that film. You should watch it, The Man Who Fell to Earth. It gets a little sleepy at times, but it's actually really incredibly... strange. And we talked a bit about Eugene, Oregon, and this song that I'm about to play is like one of my oldest best friends, a gentleman named Mark Myers in Portland, Oregon. He would come to visit me on the Oregon coast, and we kind of just like run amok for a couple days straight. And that was like an interesting time period. Those were the formative years, like early to mid-teens, and everything was confusing. Everything was messy. Bad grades were rampant. And it was like my little brother had been introduced to me and the world a few years earlier. So, you know, trying to keep a certain bit of normality up to... I think my dad and I were both trying to be a little bit normal because, like, given the circumstances of the young man. And, yeah, so, I mean, but there was, like, a handful of friends that would come over that I went to middle school with in Eugene, and we'd just kind of go crazy on the Oregon coast while they were visiting. And it's a really, really like, you know, the Oregon coast is very majestic to a certain degree. And so
it's beautiful. I spent a summer there in college.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so being like a young fucked up kid is like a great place to be.
Yeah, and
the, is the on the sand Oregon coast.
And what? Wait, what did you say?
I just said like being a young fucked up kid on the Oregon coast is perfect. Like the 2-lane highways. It's just very, it's very nostalgic. You know what I'm saying? Like I grew up on Kesey, and sometimes a great notion I've seen way too many times. It was shot like 7 miles up the road from where my dad lived.
The Goonies was shot
in Astoria, there, which is quite far. That's about an hour and a half. Okay. Yeah, from where I grew up, Depot Bay. The scene in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest where they go fishing is in Depot Bay, which happens to be the world's smallest bay, which is where my dad lived.
The world's smallest bay.
Yes. And then
how small is it?
It's naturally occurring. It's a naturally occurring bay, and it's probably like just under one square, like about 3/4 of a square mile, like encompassing. This is very small. And regardless of that, the world's shortest river is 7 miles up the road in Lincoln City, Oregon.
That's
so
amazing.
It's very strange. And, so anyway, like I'm totally wandering here, but back to this gentleman, Mark Myers, who was another person that introduced me to a lot of music that like kind of made me. And this is Elliott Smith off of Roman Candle. And it was a mixtape that ended up from, I just talked to him today about it. And he remembers leaving this tape in my car. Elliott Smith was still alive at the time, obviously. And this came out in 94, I believe. And this is No Name Number One, which is like so perfect for any high schooler like going through it. I was very popular, but I like to pretend like I was like not or something. You know, it was
how so? Because you felt
I wanted
inside.
To be, I wanted to be obscure, and I wanted to be interesting. Instead. Going to school at a really small high school, everybody that was a jock to a certain degree thought I was like blame me for being gay or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It was just like, you know, you just kind of become pigeonholed into either like a druggie or a jock or da da da. So I was like more on the druggie surfer side at this point in time. And Elliott Smith like fit right in, and like up until and through my 20s, I mean, like a lot of people now, it's like, it's, you can listen to his music and it's just like, you know, it doesn't make me depressed, it doesn't make me sad, it's just like a really good like anthem for anybody that's grown up in the last 20 years or something like that. And you know, so it's I just think this is one of, this song is just another song that was on repeat constantly and for years. And thanks to Mark Myers.
Thanks to Mark Myers.
Spooky and withdrawn like he could be. Underwater, the mighty mother with her 100 arms swept on his side. I hate to walk behind the people's ambition. I saw you waiting, same light with your warning. Leave alone.
So that was No Name Number One by Elliott Smith on Rum and Candle, which I believe is 94. It came out on Kill Rock Stars. I listened to it constantly when I found it in like 96 or 7, I think.
Yeah, Kill Rock Stars was huge.
Yeah.
Especially in the Pacific Northwest.
Completely. And now my cousin, my new cousin, Kurt Braunohler, who you spell his last name, B-R-A-U-N-O-H-L-E-R, is a newfound cousin. We found each other 2 years ago. It's kind of a silly, it's kind of a great story, but it's also funny and ironic and harrowing and sad at the same time. He is on that label now for his comedy albums. He's a huge comedian.
It's so funny.
Yeah, and we live like 5 minute walk from each other in Los Feliz, and our dogs are both terrier mixes, and we both surf together all the time when we're both free. And it's kind of crazy. Like, for all the people in this world that you haven't met and you meet that you don't have much in common with, to have a blood tie that you never knew about and meet that person and like hit it off swimmingly is kind of insane. So
it's amazing.
Yeah. And like, then so playing this song and the fact that Elliott Smith was on Kill Rock Stars and he's on Kill, it's like, it's all very like, it's a little surreal, and it makes me feel more important in this universe. Even though there are way more important things going on as far as tragedies and starvation and hunger and wars and everything. I mean, I don't think I'm that important, but a song like this definitely solidifies that.
Yeah. Well, it's also, it helps things make more sense. It's more comforting.
Completely.
And it also makes you feel that you're not alone, or at least that's what that story is to me, and that you can always connect with somebody, and there is something about being related to somebody by blood.
Yep.
That kind of connection and sharing those genetics and having that commonality and history related to each other. It's something to be said.
Yeah, kind of out of the blue. It's pretty wild. You know.
How did you find each other?
One of his mom's, I think his mom's husband, her second husband is super into genealogy. And it was just kind of like my aunt, it was emailing back and forth and was like, oh, your cousin, you have a cousin and this and that. And it's crazy. And it was after my grandfather's death. Subsequently, my grandfather and my father are dead. Like 2 years, the same day apart, their death. My father first, then my grandfather. And then so a year after my grandfather passed, 6 months, I think, my aunt in New York was like, you have a cousin, dude. And like, you actually have an aunt. And there was no funny business. My grandfather was in love with someone before he married my grandmother. And this person, like, that's a little like private. It's not really my jam, but we found each other through someone that was interested in genealogy. And we just happened to be living in LA at the same time. And he had just moved from New York. He actually has a This American Life, which we're all familiar with if we live in Los Angeles, popular.
In the United States.
In the United States alone. Like, that is so popular with people that don't even know him. It's like the one everybody references. It's the Valentine's Day one from a year or two ago.
Somebody mentioned it the other day.
It's the love thing. Yeah. It's like a love episode. And like, it's him talking about how he took a break from his girlfriend of 10 years. And they did it like their own little Rumspringa, which is what the Amish do.
For a year.
Yeah. So they were like, we're going to go date different people, be crazy. And so many people that I know since I've met my cousin and found out that he was on This American Life, because he's really good friends with Ira Glass from back in the day or something. And like, they love it. It's like everybody's favorite. So it's a good one. Find it. We'll put it up on the Tumblr or something like that.
Yeah, we can.
I'm like dropping his name.
Tumblr.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's so great.
Too bad he's not listening live.
I know, I totally forgot. I only texted a couple of people. It's hilarious. I think we have to move on to The Girl from the North Country, which Dylan, I didn't play it the whole time, but I mean, I think anybody can relate. And this actually has Johnny Cash too. It's a cameo with Johnny Cash. And so it's kind of like a zinger. I mean, I can listen to Dylan and Elliott Smith and all these people like constantly like on an island by myself, you know? So that's why they're all here.
There's something very timeless those artists.
Bobby D, top shelf. We saw him, my girlfriend and her family and I, and it was, I saw him in the 90s and then I saw him again. It wasn't forgettable. It was definitely like an older Bob Dylan. So it's interesting. But here is Girl from the North Country featuring Johnny Cash and Bob Dylan. This was really fun. Thank you, Susanna, for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And
it's really weird because the time flew so fast and it's so hot in here. This place, Kaichung, is like, it's an amazing place in Chinatown.
Hot. Yeah.
And like the Chinatown downtown LA, not the real Chinatown, which is Monterey Park.
Yeah.
But Chinatown downtown LA, Chinatown. And it's so
like
great.
It's like a sauna in here.
It's a sauna. I wanted to go to the Korean spa today and I didn't even have to.
Now you get a radio Korean spa. So killing.
I got to sweat out all my demons. Yeah, I got to sweat all my demons and listen to music. It's awesome.
All right,
thanks, guys.
Thank you, Chris, for being on the show and signing out for tonight. Thank you. Bye.
If you're traveling to the North Country Fair, where the winds hit heavy on the borderline, remember me to one who lives there. For she once was a true love of mine. See for me that her hair's hanging down. It curls and falls all down her breast. See for me that her hair's hanging down. That's the way I remember her best.
You go when the snowflakes fall, when the rivers freeze and summer ends. Please see for me if she's wearing a coat so warm to keep her from the howling.
If you're traveling in the North Country Fair,
where the winds hit heavy
on the borderline, please say hello to one who lives there. For she was once a true love.
True love.